It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mija podcast. What's up?
Hey.
I have a very special soul here next to me, Kim Yerra.
Buenas, buenas.
I am so happy to have you, girl. She is a multifaceted entrepreneur, creator, and I don't know where that music is coming from, but okay. I love
vibe.
It too.
It's a vibe.
We'll keep it. So you are a multifaceted entrepreneur, writer, speaker, teacher, all of the things.
Poquito de todo.
Sí, poquito de todo. Tell me, originally you're here. You're from here. You're from the Valley. She's an LA girl. She is from Pacoima. Shout out Pacoima.
Shout out Pacoima 818.
And you grew up there? That was where you started your journey?
I was born and raised in the San Fernando Valley. And then I went to school in Nueva York. And then I lived in Seattle, and then I'm back in LA, pero ahorita estoy entre LA and Coyoacan, where I met you.
Yes, that's where we met. I'm hearing noises, guys. Do you hear that?
See, like a commercial in the back. It's probably from the YouTube.
This
is a program
that trains local. Sorry, everyone.
A community newspaper.
Do you hear it?
And produce this.
Oh, it's on the radio.
What's happening in the community?
Pause, everyone. So right now we're trying to figure out who is talking on behind us.
Technical difficulties.
But that's okay because I'm here.
We're
and
here.
So you're here in LA right now for the LA Times Book Festival, and among other things, something very important: your book release.
Yes.
Your second book, right?
Yeah. So this is like a revised version. This is a revised version of the first book, Mariposa. This is Mariposa Guerrera. And we added like about 100 new poems that we wanted to have in the book originally.
Mm-hmm.
Y it's exciting because como es la vida, todo pasa en un ciclo.
Mm-hmm.
Y esto es como un ciclo for me where estoy renaciendo. So it's really beautiful to have this revised Mariposa renaciendo with me.
Well, Kim Guerra, if you don't already know that, she is the creator, the creatrix of Brown Badass Bonita, which is a brand that is very well known here in LA, but also around the world, right? I mean, like, you're worldwide now.
Worldwide.
I mean, she is. Everyone knows you. How many followers do you have now on Instagram? Girl,
120
something. I think it's over that, but she's being humble. We love it. But you're kind of a big deal. And in this kind of space, this Latinx influencer space, you know, there's a need that you serve, that Badass Bonita serves. What do you feel that need is?
I feel it is the need to see ourselves con ojos de amor and to realize that we are badass, that we are beautiful, que podemos hacer todo, y that we can give ourselves wings, porque so many of us grew up being oppressed or hating ourselves or being insecure about who we are, where we come from. And I think something changes when you choose to love yourself for all of who you are. You become a revolution when you choose to love yourself and take up space and not apologize for it.
Yeah. And that's the whole basis of your platform, you know, and it doesn't go unnoticed. It's beautiful to watch you become. That has what, you know, I've been following you for years now. I don't even know how many years, but it's been a while that I've gotten to see you, your whole, you know, blooming. And that has been beautiful. It has gotten more personal as you've gone along, you know, mm-hmm. definitely. And you sharing more of yourself and sharing more of your story,
yes.
Which is an important story we're going to share, too. Were you able to figure it out? 'Cause can you hear it? I hear oldies. Did you guys, if you guys click on the link? Oh, you are? Yeah, will you ask Nico to come here real quick? This is live, everybody. This is live. This is what it means to be live. That means I don't mind it. I love oldies.
The drama, the suspense.
Go,
is that in the meantime, let me do some ASMR. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, for sure. You can feel free to do a poem. No, actually, the music's playing. It's cool.
Let me practice my sex.
Will you ask Nico to come here? Just like,
Nico. Nico ni avisa.
Where are they coming from?
There's got to be a window open on it.
Oh. Everybody, welcome Nico to the show.
What's up, Nico?
Hey,
not here. Oh, it is probably that. That's what it always. You right.
Yeah,
and yeah. We're back. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Nico.
Yes, round of applause for Nico. Woo! Thank you very much. I will be adding sound effects soon. once we get this shit together. See, look, my whole podcast experience has just been like trial and error. Like everything, every single thing. It's like there's a new technological like barrier every single time. So I'll get over one and I'm like, all right, I'll never do that again. Mm-hmm. And then the next day.
Something else. Pero mira, así es la vida y nos adaptamos. And that's what chingonas do.
Duh. There you go. We figure it the fuck out. But so let's get back to what I was talking about. So back to the Millennial Mija podcast. Welcome to the Millennial Mija podcast. I was a little nervous when we just jumped in. So I kind of like lose my train of thought and I jump around, which is if you listen to the show, then you know that's what it is. And so you just love it anyway. And I'm happy to have you. But so I have to add to my updates. So what I want to let everyone know is, first of all, I want to congratulate you for being so goddamn booked.
Thank you.
I see all your dates and I'm just like living for that because I'm not. Okay, so that comes to bring me to this update, which is I am now booking.
Yay!
So please book
the
me.
The books are open.
It's schedules wide open.
Slide
into my DMs and Ale will book you in my calendar and she will send you a Google Calendar invite. Thank you very much. Hey, shout out to Ale for helping me so much. Woo. And my friend Jen is in the building. What's and so, who do we have? Irving back there too, the artist extraordinaire who will be revealing his interpretation of the Millennial Mija podcast logo. And I haven't seen it at all.
Ay, qué emoción.
Because we don't have a logo. Like, dude, it took us until 60 episodes to make a podcast artwork that says, like, oh, now streaming. Like, hey. It's episode 60, but look.
That's a big-ass deal.
It is.
And I mean, it speaks that you took 60 episodes. People are like, I don't need to know the logo. I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm just doing it as... I think you said something in your interview with Prisca, or maybe Prisca said it, that I'm my number one priority and like whatever's the most loving to do, you know. And so I have made so many mistakes with this and like literally cried or cringed and not been able to listen to the podcast that I did because it was so messed up or the sound or this and that. But every time I listen back, I'm always just like, what was so bad about that, you know?
Like, we beat ourselves up.
Yeah.
And we don't know, like, we're creating something beautiful.
Yeah. And then no one else can even tell you messed up. Exactly. So that's what we're going to, like, in Hello, Euphoria, Maddie says that she says confidence is, you know, and nobody knows if it's real or not.
Right.
That's the thing about it.
That's so true.
Shout out to Maddie. Shout out to Euphoria. I love that show. It's triggering. However, so we also have Summer of Self details coming soon. So I have a workshop called Season of Self. That is all about the same things, all of that you're about to. It's kind of like there's these people that just need to like get it out, and it looks different every time. But it's the same. It comes from the same place. You know, this like need to share and need to meet yourself where you wished someone would have met you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what these courses and that's what these workshops are about. So Summer of Self is coming. And we'll let you know more about that. But it does involve a sound bath because our last season of self workshop was a half writing workshop with me and then half sound bath with our friend Liz Villa. And it was just really special. It was a really beautiful event. And we were able to, I don't know, I feel like it was a small group. So we connected more.
See,
and that's always
intimate.
The best.
Yes.
Look at your name.
Damn.
Okay. Okay. What's going on? What just happened? Okay. Sorry, we're having technical difficulties, people. Google Drive is fucking with me. So also update that I wanted to share is that I have been listening to You Sound Like a White Girl by Julissa Arce.
Love her.
Girl, I was driving like in the morning and I had like an hour drive and I was kept putting my head back because I didn't want my tears to come down and mess up my makeup because I had to come here and I'm like, no, I can't afford this. I have to preserve this. I can't. But she writes so beautifully about our culture. She really does write. She writes her ass off, man.
Con corazón.
And, yeah. And it's there. She talks about our she talks everything about from our history to her own experience of, she said this one story stood out to me. She met Ann Coulter one time. And who's just like, if you don't already know, she's, this bitch is just like the most racist there could be. She hates immigrants. It's like she's, and she's proud of it. She's like, that's her, like that's the, her platform.
The Karen of the Karen.
Yes, she's the Queen Karen. She's the Queen of the Karens. And so she met her one time, right? And I guess she explains that when she met her, she only had a couple seconds to get, she gave her her book, which at the time is, I think that book, it was called Something Like Me. Someone Like Me. Yeah. And it's the story about how as an undocumented person, she was able to make it to Wall Street and work at Goldman Sachs and all that. And so in giving her her book, she said that kind of like in a summary wise. And then she, the reason why she was upset with herself is because she realized that the reason why she was, even this person she doesn't like, she was seeking approval from in this like kind of way of, oh, well, I'm a good immigrant, you
good
know?
Enough yes. for you to yeah.
And her response was, oh, great. Two things I hate the most, immigrants and Wall Street. I'm like, this bitch.
Such a Karen move.
Yeah. Please. But it's so honest. All of her writing is just beautiful. And I'm not even halfway through. I've just been having all these emotions and experiences. And so thank you, Julissa, for just putting, because it's not just a book of her experiences, it's a book of her experiences through the lens of our history. And she goes into our history.
Yes.
Have you read any of it?
No, I'm like, I have it. I'm going to start reading it next week because this week has been crazy. Pero it's on my top of my books. And I love Julissa so much. So please go out, get it, listen to it, read it, tell your friends about it.
Yeah. And I forgot what I was going to say. But I love the book, so please read it. But it's just a beautiful story. It's not really I don't know. It's like a combination of it. It's like the history that we weren't taught. So there's a lot of facts and figures, but also interweaved with her own personal narrative.
With narrative,
yeah, which is a lot like Priska's book.
Like, and educational,
yes,
story based,
but also emotional
for us, written by somebody like us, yeah, which is so important.
And I'm listening on audiobook because I only do audiobooks.
Okay.
So I feel like I have like an enhanced experience because the I'm intimacy. Hearing their own voice, and you can hear her holding back tears while the she's emotions. Reading. Oof. And I'm just like, ooh, it's
good. I got chills.
Yeah, you can really hear like her and the kind of like the truth and the honest sentiments that come with being the sole provider in your family. And she really goes in and she really like says her honest opinion, and it's like you can hear her kind of getting free, you know. And so it's beautiful to experience it through the audiobook. So like I always advocate for audiobooks, get your ass an audiobook. And last update that I have before we get into this beautiful interview with Kim is my mom's adventure. So I'm not sure if I have even shared any of this because I don't know who I tell what to. But oh, this is why it was messed up. My mother will be moving on May 1st. Actually, she's out of here. My sister's, she's, okay, rewind, Angie. too fast, calm down. She's gonna move to Texas with my sister who lives in San Antonio, but she's only gonna live there like a few months out of the year because she has always wanted to do this, and she wanted to buy a trailer and like travel the country and like just.
Your mama's a baddie.
She's a baddie. There's no one like that lady. And she has always kind of operated from a place of fear and survival, like many of us, many of our parents. My mom is a recovering heroin addict, and so she came from a place that was purely about survival. And even after she survived, she stayed in that mode. And so it has been beautiful and difficult to encourage her, because there have been times in the beginning of me encouraging her where she's like, never mind, I changed my mind, I don't want to do this. See? This is, I don't want to do this, no, and it was upsetting. But at the same time, it's like, I can only love you. That's all I can do. Exacto. And so when she decided to finally go, and she put in her, you know, 30 days or whatever for the apartment, it was like a really important moment for us.
Huge.
She called me and she was like, you know, I don't want you to feel abandoned. And I was like, well, it's a little late for that, you know, but like, I forgive you now. And it's I think it's the most the way, the best thing, if you want to pay me back at all, is to like figure out how to be happy. Yes. And that would literally fix all of the problems that I guess came from me feeling abandoned as a kid.
The attachment wounds.
Yeah. And so it's been like a an ongoing conversation, but like I feel us getting closer with every like every conversation about it. Like I keep checking in with her about how she's feeling and letting her know that if you feel scared, you're supposed to feel scared. You've never done this before. Like kind of just walking her through it, kind of like being there for her in a way that
the coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a way that I wish I had when I wanted to do all these crazy right. things. But I remember I wrote for the Brown Girl Travels newest issue. And in it, I talked about how when I was younger, I took like a pamphlet to my mom and it was for a study abroad program. Mm. And I was excited. I wanted to do it. I was like, hell yeah, I want to do it. And my mom was just like, with the most love in her heart, she was just like, you know, you're not all there all the time. You know, what happens if you forget your phone? And what happens if you get lost? And all this fear. And I put it out of my mind after that. I didn't even travel until recently to that. Yes, where we met, which brings us back. Wow. So my mom is going on her adventure. I'm excited and happy for her. I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss Kiko, her dog, our dog. But I'm just excited to see her live.
It's like she's making a choice to love herself. And that's one of the biggest gifts like a parent could give their children. Mm-hmm. It's like she's giving herself wings, even through her fear, even through her journey and her courage. And that, like you said, that's going to bring a lot of healing to you to mm-hmm. see your mama happy.
Both of us. Mm. Whew, I got through that without crying. But it's a really happy thing. Llorar. Yeah, it's a really happy thing. And but it's also like, wow, mama's going to be gone. Like she's going to be gone. So it's going to be different, but I'm excited for the change that it will bring in all of our lives. Mm. So let's get to you, mi amor. Let's get to you because you are such a dynamic, multifaceted entrepreneur, writer, speaker, teacher, all the things, published author, content creator, which I need to ask you, how do you do it? Because the content every day I get on, my Uncle Donnie's calling. Aww, every time I get on, I see a new video, but not just a video of you. It's like a edited with music with it, like a nice video. So talk to me about that, like as a content creator, because how do you keep up with that?
I'm like, I'm creating this content sent on the toilet.
No, but it does take work.
It is like a constant commitment, but I have to realize like this is like if I do a video, it's something that I love, that it's fun. Porque también when it feels like I'm just creating for creating sake, ahí es cuando me siento like, girl, no, just like take a break. Porque sí, it takes time. But I do like usually what I want to put out is like content que a mí me fortalece.
Yeah.
Que a mí like I enjoy the process of creating it, but I also enjoy and need the message that I'm putting out. So usually that's my process, pero sí, it is work.
Yeah, it is work. And when it comes to the creating of the brand, talk to me about if you haven't already listened to her TED Talks and binged her like I have preparing for this interview, then you might not know her story, like the origination, the origin story. So talk about that, about your you know, love life or lost love or whatever, especially with the white man. That was like the detail that I'm like, wait, we need to talk about that a little bit more.
Even at the TED Talk, when I said I was married to a white man, everyone was like, what? Like shook, like you. And I'm like, yes, I know, I'm sorry. I apologize to my past self. So Brown Badass Juanita started in a bathtub, and I was having like an existential bath time in Seattle. It was like 4 a.m. Mm. And I just like remember feeling like I miss my community, and I feel like I'm losing myself. Like I feel like my fire, my spark is gone.
Were you still married at the time?
Oh, yeah. I was like right smack in the middle of being like a whole ass wife, señora de la casa. And
where were you living?
Living in Seattle. Living in this like really nice, beautiful home, like by the lake. I see like that life, and it was not just ours, we were sharing it with people, but it was still just like a completely different life. But I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere in my life as it was. So I was like, what are the parts of me that I want to hold on to? What are the parts of me that I want to celebrate? And that's where that came out. I'm like, I'm a brown badass monita, and I want to celebrate that, and I want to como wear that as a shield, as a statement, as a reminder, as a commitment to myself that I don't want to let myself, like, my flame go away. So then, you know, I got out the bathtub all naked and wrinkled and shit, and I got my phone and I started playing around with designs, and right there I created a shirt with those words, brown badass monita. And a week later I got my shirt in the mail, put it on Instagram, and it blew up, and I had people, women from all over the world, like, messaging me, like, where can I get that, because I'm a brown badass bonita too, just nobody told me.
What year was this?
This was 2016. And from there on, it just became like this movement, this community. And now we changed the name to Badass Bonita to be more inclusive, because when we identify all Latinx or Latinx people as brown, we're leaving out our Afro Latino community too, and not everybody is brown that is Latinx. So yeah, we just switched it to Badass Bonita with an X in the middle to be a little sexier.
You know, give it a little Rihanna.
Yes,
I love that. So what, hold on, I am playing, I wanted to play, where's her music, because our homegirl also is here in LA right now. For all these things, what do you guys all do? So you guys are on the Alegría. Yeah, so they're
part of the Alegría family, and
which I will be joining soon.
Felicidades.
Thank you. Beautiful. I haven't spoken to her. I talked to her at the Brown Girl Travels book fair. Ooh. And she was like, you need to reprint your book on our press. I'm like, girl, yes, I do. Say I really
less.
Do.
Say less.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. But tell us about your guys' publisher, and because yes, it has a theme.
Yeah. So we are part of the Alegría Publishing House. And we are here because we just celebrated like 10-year anniversary of Alegría. They had like a nice, beautiful party at the last bookstore celebrating, because a lot of it is based on giving like Latinx authors a space, a voice to become amplified and to have access to publishing.
Yeah.
And are a lot of, so me and Angelica's books are very much centered on self-love and embracing, like, you know, your inner baddie and glowing the fuck up, being like, you know what, I'm a diosa y no me voy a, you know, I'm not gonna take my crown off for nobody.
For sure. And she's, dude, her music Fuego. Gives you the vibe. Like, si. It really gives you that vibe, and this is the vibe. This song is called Too Much Sazon, and it's by Angelica Maria. Go watch it now on YouTube. The video's dope. All her videos are dope.
So dope.
But she is a very powerful, like, and her vibe, like, translates through her music, you know? And so, actually, that's where we met. I was with my friend Jen on our pilgrimage to the pyramids to go bring my dad's ashes. But also to take a trip, because, like I mentioned earlier about, you know, traveling, how it's just kind of been a source of fear for me. And that was the trip that I met you. So I met you in the mercado. So tell me about Coyoacan, and why do you think Coyoacan attracted you and Angelica? Yes. Because you guys just happened to move there at the same time and are both from Pacoima.
Yes.
And just both have that, like, mujerona, like, you know, that vibe. So talk to me about Coyoacan and how it has inspired you and why you chose to live there.
Oof, I love it. Like, I remember the first time I went to Coyoacan, I just felt the energy. There's like a very specific, like, artistic energy. Mm-hmm. Even because it's technically in La Ciudad de Mexico, but it feels like a little pueblito.
Yeah.
It's still very como old school. The streets are cobblestone, así empedradas. And it's so...
And it's home to Casa Azul.
It's home to Casa Azul. And that was also part of my process. I felt like I felt close to Frida. And one of my dreams had always been to go visit La Casa Azul. And never in my whole life would I imagine that I'd be, like, living, like, two blocks from there. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, oh my gosh, me and Frida probably could have been neighbors. We went to the same mercado, because that's one of the oldest mercados. So we went to that mercado de Coyoacan, which is one of the mercados that she went to. So it was very much a decision based on like that art and that connection to the energy of the space. Porque todavía it's very centered around artists and writers, mm-hmm. and artisans and craftsmen. Even every weekend they have a little mercadito for the artists in the park, and they really prioritize their museums and everybody.
Talk to me about the first time. I want to talk a little bit about Casa Azul. I feel like I haven't talked about it on the podcast, but that was a really special experience. It was special because for me it humanized Frida, because she has always been like an idea to me, more of anything, like a symbol. But seeing her nail polish, I don't know what it was about that just was like, oh, okay, this was a real life. Right. And like seeing her wheelchair in front of her, you know,
her easel,
yeah. And seeing the locks of hair that she cut of her and Diego, like, just like, it just reminded me like, oh, they were the poster children for toxic relationships.
Exactly.
That's where we all learned it.
Don't even.
It was downhill from there. Well, I think it's pretty older than that, but you know, they're the archetype. And talk to me about the first time you saw what stood out to you.
Well, I remember I felt it was like an important moment for me because, again, like throughout my time in Seattle, I became a little obsessed with Frida because I felt that I felt connected with her. I started to like read all the books about her, all the letters that she wrote. And I felt she hated Gringolandia. And at that point I was like hated Seattle. And I remember feeling very connected to her because she was not afraid to show her suffering. And she was not afraid to show herself as a human with grief, with, you know, con su unibrow, con su bigote, con, you know, her miscarriage, her struggles. And also she was like a bisexual
woman. Queer legend.
Exactly. And I just thought that was like so badass, and I gravitated towards that, especially knowing that she was queer. And I remember too, like, my mom was just like, why are you so obsessed with her? You do know she likes women, cochina. And I was just like, I don't
care. You like me too. You're like, what's not to like?
Exacto. But at that moment, I was like married. I was a wife. So I just felt like this was like my secret, like, hero that she was doing. You know, she was out and she was doing and being and not ever attempting to be perfect. So when I went to Casa Azul, I very much had that moment of kind of like full circle, because I was just like, oh my goodness, now I'm living in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I got a divorce. I was like, at that time I was living in Mexico with my partner, who's a woman, and committing to my work and writing. And it was just like, I fucking did this. Yeah. And I'm connected.
Frida will be proud.
Right. I like sat in the little corner with my journal and just like took a moment to journal and to express gratitude for that moment. And it was very special. And I was there by myself, and it just was really.
Yeah. Oh, you went by yourself the first time. I love that. Yeah. I went with my bestie. Hey. We had what do you remember about it? About Casa Azul? What stood out to you? The traditional things she always held on to. Yeah, you know, her fashion too. Like, that was a big part of her because of her resistance to Gringolandia. Like, the fashion and the everything that she chose to wear was purposeful. Mm-hmm. Everything had a reason. She everything was very intentional, and her every aspect about her life was art to her.
Right.
So she was, you know, art directing.
You become art.
And that is what you became. And you're just exuding it. You know, the light that you put into the world is very special, Kim. It's very special, and it really like gives us all medicine. You know, to see you, like, I don't know what you call that, like, just to see you dancing in your freedom, like, you know, just like it, like, not just happy, like joyful, joyous, you know, and putting out content that is uplifting and, you know, aspirational, because many of us are starting this journey or haven't even started. And so to see someone who's so in like touch with their, I guess, their revolutionary self-love, you know, that to some people is very aspirational. It feels unattainable almost. And there was in your TED talk, you were talking about your tía when she says happiness has nothing to do with it.
Yes.
Can you tell that story a little bit?
Oh, I see. So I want to speak a little bit too of just like, I feel that we all have that power to create that medicine like to that, like self-love is medicine. Like you're, when you choose to love yourself, you're choosing to heal, and you're choosing to let light into those dark places. Mm-hmm. And you're also choosing to love yourself in your wounds, in your process. And it's not always, you know, dancing with joy. It's sometimes you got to do the hard work. Sometimes you got to do the ugly Kim Kardashian crying, but it's always worth it.
Yeah, Rumi has that quote, the wound is where the light enters you.
Exacto. Yeah. So don't be afraid of your wounds, and don't be afraid or ashamed to be wounded. But that story of mi tía, I was in Mexico, in Guadalajara. Shout out to La Experiencia en Zapopan. But I remember looking at mi tía, and this is a tía that does everything for everyone. She was the one that would take care of my great-grandmother, take care of her kids, take care of her husband, take care of her grandchildren. And she was also a kindergarten teacher. And she was the only one that every time I went to visit, she was like, let me cook for you, mija. Let me get this. Let me get that. And I was like, when do you rest, lady?
Yeah.
And she didn't. Like, I just stayed up with her. I loved hanging out with her. And I stayed up with her, and it was like past midnight. I estaba planchando los calzones de su esposo.
No, not the calzones.
Like, I'm like, no mames, tía. Hasta los calzones les plancho. And I was like, I just looked at her, and I just like, I was like,
like, above and beyond, see? You know, like.
She was tired, bent over la plancha. And I just asked her, like, tía, like, are you happy? ¿Estás feliz? ¿Estás contenta? And then she just looked at me so tired. She's like, ay, mija, I'm like, happiness has nothing to do with it. And that like shook me, because at that point too I was still married, and I just remember making a promise to myself. I'm like, I don't want to be in a marriage or in a life in which happiness has nothing to do with it, where I'm over here, I'm never gonna planchar nobody's underwear. I don't care who the fuck you are, I'm not ironing your underwear.
No hell no.
But too, I'm like, I do want to live a life in which happiness, my happiness and my needs and my well-being is important.
Yeah that was kind of like a turning point for you. See? It was like you by then you had already had the seed planted, right, for Badass mm-hmm. Bonita, but that for you was what turning point, like when you started to grow it? Or
see, no, I don't think Badass Bonita, I don't think that was there yet.
Oh, okay.
I think I was still like in I'm a married Christian lady.
Yeah, guys. So maybe that was the seed then.
Yeah, was definitely, I was like, oh, hey, I don't know that. Because if that's what a married, happy Christian lady looks like, not me.
Yeah.
Like, unsubscribe.
Unfollow right now. Block.
Canceled.
talk to me about, if you know, queer everything. Because I love everything about your page is queer everything. And so talk to me about that and why that is radical, especially for you coming from the family and the women that you come from. Talk to me about that.
Anyways.
Criticonas.
I come from a lineage of guerreras and criticonas.
At the same damn time. Todas
somos bien chismosas.
Hey, poem.
Se vale. So I grew up like in the like Christian world. I was very involved in all of it, and I also grew up my mom saying, like, hearing her say very homophobic things. But I knew I was like queer since I was like in middle school, but then like high school I just kind of like suppressed so much, and then in college también. So the first person I actually came out to was my ex-husband. We were in Canada.
How'd that go?
We were in Canada watching Planet Earth. We were looking at some penguins, and something about like how the dude penguins carry the eggs.
You're like, this is a great time.
I'm like, this is my tour. This is my moment.
This is your chance.
I'm like, you know, like, hey, so just so you know, I like women. And he's like, doesn't surprise me. And I was like, dope. He's like, yep. And we never talked about it again.
Okay.
It was like the most casual coming out ever. And I was just like, all right, cool. Not a big deal. I guess I'm still just going to do this and see what happens. And so being in a, you know, I divorced. I had my whole rotation after my rotation.
The roster was full, honey.
Booked and busy. After I was done with that, then, you know, me calmé poquito, and then I fell in love with a woman. And I felt, then it was, like such an honor and a revolution to take up space as a queer woman, especially in Mexico, especially con gente que on purpose would be like, son hermanas, son amigas. Like, somos novias.
With the deep voice.
But, like, seeing their face, because they hate saying lesbias, they hate saying lesbiana. So, you know, for me, I just felt it was super important to take up that space and not carry any shame and to respect myself as a queer woman, to not hide or shrink myself or my identity or who I loved. And there was like a moment too. One of my favorite stories of that was I was in Guanajuato, and there they do this thing called callejoneadas, where you walk around and sing, and it's just like a bunch of people. And they had this portion where like, okay, los hombres en un lado, las mujeres en el otro. And then he looked at me. He's like, ¿y por qué es 2022 si tienes novia y eres una mujer, una váyase con los hombres? And I was like, everybody's lucky. And, you know, I like, nobody else was volunteering, so I volunteered. So I went over to the man's side, and I was, like, the only one. I'm like, crossing.
All small.
I know, young guys. What's up, men? And, like, some of the ladies from the ladies' side, like, started clapping, like, yeah, girl. And the men were like, what the fuck? Like, who is she? Why is she here? And then they made us, like, do these dances. But then I was like, okay, cool. Casual. I thought it was over. It wasn't over. They're like, okay, man, follow me over here to the side. And I was like, ah! Like, I'm just like me with, like...
You're going to go do hard labor now.
It was, like, me with 50, like, Mexican señores.
Oh.
And then the host is like, okay, ¿dónde está la muchacha? ¿Dónde está la muchacha? I was literally all the way in the back. So it's like, sea of men opens up. And he's like, vente para enfrente. And then so they open up. I have to walk in the middle of all these men. They're all looking at me. This little kid's like, papa, ¿por qué ella está aquí si no es hombre? And then he like looks at me, looks at his son. He's like, porque ella tiene una novia y ahorita es uno de nosotros.
And aww.
And so then, you know, I didn't even know how to stand. I'm like, do I stand more manly? Do I still be girly? Like, it was just like, and hearing the men talk to each other, like, you know, how men talk to each other, like, así de que hombres, a ver, después de esto nos vamos al strip club, y quien tiene billetes, and I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, yeah, what's up, I'll go too. And then this one man's like about to propose, he's like, amiga, amiga, le voy a pedir matrimonio, he's like all drunk, he's like, le voy a pedir matrimonio a mi novia, ¿tú crees que le digo mi declaración así en público, se lo digo en privado? And I'm over here,
what do you tell him?
I'm over here like, mira, lo público va a ser cuando te inques, lo privado díselo tú, para que sea entre tú y ella. Because the host had us coordinating this whole thing, because like all the men, myself, had to declare this poem, because we're going to do something romantic for our ladies.
Wait, so I'm still confused about what the hell is this? This is an event that you go to in Guanajuato, and there's you have to do what?
So it's like at night you gather,
okay,
in a group.
Do activities.
You sing, you walk. You walk around the streets of Guanajuato and you sing, and then they tell you stories, and then you take, and everybody's like drinking and having a merry old time. It's super fun.
That sounds real fun.
It's like a key thing to do there. So we had to declare like this poem, and then like get on our knees and like present a rose to the ladies, and luego bajan las ladies, and you can hear them from a distance like, woo, you know, like they're like having a great time on over here with these men. I was like, oh, sucks to be a man.
Boring.
And then the men are like, las dejamos solas y ya miren, 5 minutos y vienen así en puro desmadre, por eso no las podemos dejar solas, las tenemos que cuidar.
Oh my God.
And then when the man was
puro
like,
puro desmadre.
Because
they were happy. Yes. Puro desmadre. Puro desmadre.
So then, like, this man, when he was saying he wanted to propose, the other men were like, no lo hagas. Todavía tienes tiempo de arrepentirte.
Oh,
sácate. And so after I encouraged him, he, like, listened to me. He committed. And then they're like, okay, pues, tú puedes, tiburoncín. Tú puedes. Da, da, da. So it's like this whole thing. But I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, it was... It went from them looking and giving me the side eye to them, like, accepting me as one of them. And it was really cool to be, like, the only, like, women they're represented and like taking up space as a queer person. Porque that I was shaking that whole time. I was shaking. I'm like, I don't want to be with these men. I'm like, but I'm like, I'm doing this for the community. Yeah. I'm doing this for the culture.
This is so much bigger than me right now.
That, yes, that's what it felt like. It felt like this is a big deal, even for this little moment. Because I'd much rather be with the desmadre ladies. Go like, woo, just me, you know,
ladies. Like, I am.
Yeah. So like, dude, it's been a journey.
That it all sounds like that, like there was a lot of significant moments in that one experience. Mm-hmm. Like even the guy telling his son, like, and then him being kind of like direct about it, like not shaming. I don't know, that seemed like a really simple answer.
Yes,
like, you know, that
matter of fact.
Yeah. Tell me about, because I was in tears after I read your post about the what was it, the Women's March. Ooh. International Women's Day, girl. Let me pull it up so you can read it. Because she wrote her ass off on this. And it was, well, first tell us where you were.
Oh, I see. Okay. So I was in Bacalar. It's a little pueblito. And I went there after the breakup to write and heal. I thought I was going to be in this cabin, like listening to Adele crying every day. But that little pueblo changed my life, because the community there is so beautiful, so strong, so powerful. Like the Mexican feminists, like, my respect. They're so badass. Mm-hmm. They're so powerful. And I, you know, sabes como es el universo, the girl that I was like renting the cabin from, she was like one of like the main organizers for like the feminist, like dope ass people in that pueblo. Mm-hmm. So she told me, like, Kim, vente a mi restaurante at this time. Nos vamos a ir en caravana a la ciudad.
And this was International Women's Day.
Yes, International Women's Day. And she's like, we're going to go march. I'm like, hell yeah. And so we show up. I show up to this like restaurant where I'm like, I don't know anybody but her. And I'm done and I'm ready. And I get there, you know, como que, hi guys. And they take me in. They're just like, hola, ¿cómo estás? We start comparing tattoos, because we all have, like, tattoos. And they start doing my makeup in, like, the purple and green colors that are the feminist colors in Mexico. And then we just start talking, sharing stories. And then we, like, hop in. Like, cada quien se reparte in different cars. And my car was, like, this old, old Volkswagen van. They called it El Abuelo because it was barely running. Cables were hanging out. One window didn't open. There was like no seats in the back. And we like cram in there. And most of the women in my little van are like, you know, lesbian women. And I was like, I got placed in the lesbian
car. I'm in the right, in the right place.
And I was just like trying to be a cool, you know, I'm like, yeah, guys. And then one of them's like, I brought sandwiches in case y'all get hungry.
Thank God.
It's like, she's like the mama lesbian. What's up? And then we were like on our way out, and this one girl like screams out. She's like, Valentina! And Valentina is like this girl on the street that was late to the caravan. So she hops in, and I have to sit on her lap. And she's like, ooh, I got the best, you know, seat. And I'm like, huh. Anyway, this was on
focus.
I know, life focus. And this was on the way to the march. But in that moment, I was like, what is my life right now? I'm in this car with these queer women, I don't know, on my way to this feminist march in Mexico. Like, this is amazing. So we got there, and it was so well organized. And it was, you felt the energy of, like, mujeres who are fed up.
Mm-hmm.
Mujeres who are tired. And that everybody, each person knew somebody who was impacted, whether they were killed, whether they're missing, whether they were assaulted. And oh, do you want me to
because the way you wrote it, it was like, I didn't even need to be there. Okay. Like, I was like, sheesh. Okay,
I'm about to read it, and this is actually the perfect time. So I already gave you like the pre of like the caravan. And the city that we got to is called Chetumal. So llegamos a Chetumal. It was a sea of purple. So many of them were so young. They were ready. Almost everyone was sporting purple, green, and pink bandanas. Mine was purple, and it said, Mi cuerpo y mis decisiones son mías. The queer presence was strong. The girls were holding hands and marching side by side. They warmed my heart. I caught glimpses of rainbow socks, rainbow belt, rainbow makeup, rainbow corazones. This is mi México querido. Our group stepped in right around the middle of the stream of mujeres. There was at least 1,000 of us there. The signs kept bringing tears to my eyes. Si me matan, llénenme de flores, cúbranme de tierra, que yo seré semilla. Vivas nos queremos. Mejor vivas y violentas que violadas y muertas. Somos la voz de las que ya no están. All the signs tugged at my heart, pero there was one that destroyed me. Yo soy la hermana de la niña que nunca vas a tocar. I felt that pain deep. I felt my body feel like it wants to collapse. That sign hit me like a fucking wrecking ball. I would give anything to carry that sign and for it to be true. There was shame and blame that sometimes still creeps up. I should have spoken up sooner. Maybe it wouldn't have happened to her. The sick part of the victim blaming herself for the perpetrator's wrongdoing. The false sense of power in a situation where I was powerless, 9-year-old, too scared to speak or open her eyes. Las feministas mexicanas son otro rollo. Chingonas, intensas, fuego en las venas, cansadas de enterrar a tantas. Las consignas, todas se las sabían y las gritaban con ganas. I heard the pain in their voices. I felt it escape her throats as we chanted. Señor, señora, no sea indiferente. Se matan a las mujeres en la cara de la gente. La policía no me cuida. Me cuidan mis amigas. En falda o pantalón, respétame, cabrón. And we would make eye contact when we said that. Porque there was men everywhere. Alerta, alerta, alerta al que camina. La lucha feminista por América Latina. Y tiemblen, y tiemblen, y tiemblen los machistas. Que América Latina será toda feminista. Ni del Estado, ni del marido, ni del partido, ni del patrón. Mi cuerpo es mío. Y solo mía es la decisión. There was a pause in the march donde todos gritaban los nombres de las víctimas de feminicidio. Había tantos nombres que pensé que nunca íbamos a terminar. Después de cada nombre, nosotras gritábamos, presente. Each name had a face. Each name represented a life that was taken at the hand of machistas. Yuridiana was a young girl killed last year in Bacalar. We felt we were there in her honor. I learned that at least 10 women are murdered every day in Mexico. 98% of these crimes go unpunished. Ninguna olvidada. The march continued and we made our way to El Palacio de Gobierno where they were playing music and we marched in a circle. We gathered in a circle. We took it all in. We looked in each other's eyes. Una mezcla de dolor y orgullo. They began this part of the march by starting a fire and burning objects which represent oppression. Bras, religious articles, photos, measuring tapes, syringes, razors. They were using the aerosol sprays and burning and turning them into blow torches, which is really badass. I love fire. As if my heart could not take any more, they passed the microphone to those who wanted to share their testimonies in the center of the circle. Girl after girl, mujer after mujer, got up and shared stories. Hola, me llamo. I am 13 years old, and when I was 5 years old, my grandmother's husband touched me without consent. When I was 7, my cousin did too. When I told my family, they defended them and called me crazy. My abuser's name is, when I was in middle school, my husband raped me 2 days after I gave birth. I reported and the cops didn't do anything. I found out he did it to my sister too. Some of them went up alone, others with their friends holding their hands. Many of them would break down mid-sentence. They collapsed into the arms of anyone who would hold them. The pain rippled through the circle and we would shout out, no estás sola, no estás sola. Yo sí te creo. Hermana, aquí está tu manada. Verga violadora a la licuadora. That was my favorite one. Tears falling down our cheeks, women holding one another as others, as we listened and remembered our own stories. My throat was closing up, and I felt that if I started sobbing, I wouldn't be able to stop. I couldn't stop the tears. I kept wondering if they would give me away, but they know that I had gone through similar things. The way these mujeres held one another changed my life forever. It felt like magic. This is feminism. Radical, magical womanhood.
Thank you so much for reading.
Thank you so much for reading that. And thank you. Thank you for writing it. Thank you for all of that, because, man, that was a layered post. It was just and it was like, it all came to me. I felt like I was you or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I was actually, because of the way you wrote it, the images you posted, it was, oh man, thank you for that. Sorry to anyone that we didn't do a trigger warning before, but yes. I think it eased into it, so I think you were starting to see where it was going. That's hard.
It was one of the hardest, like a pain, like a heartbreaking moment, but it was also healing, because it was like, I feel like it was like a bunch of broken hearts of women who have been hurt by machismo, have been, you know, who know somebody or are somebody who has experienced that grief or like that that pain, and it was beautiful to be in that space together and to show that we're angry, to show that we're done, to show that, you know, we want change and we're going to be part of the change, but, you know, at no matter what cost. And I love that, because they were not afraid. Like, they were too angry and too tired and too ready for change to be afraid or to be quiet. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of us lost our voices. A lot of us, like, either people were doing illegal stuff, like, or like not illegal stuff, whatever, like graffiti or whatever, the burning and stuff, and the others, we were protecting them, like covering them from the cops and stuff.
Yeah,
so it was a really beautiful experience of sisterhood.
Sounds powerful, man. It sounds powerful. The imagery that you primarily, like, that I noticed that you use is butterflies and flowers. Talk to me about that, the significance of that imagery for you.
It is about metamorphosis. Mm. And for me, I remember when I saw a caterpillar, I thought it was so ugly. And I was like, my teacher, my first grade teacher, I just had dinner with her yesterday.
Aww.
She's like, little Kimberly, like, that's going to turn into a butterfly. And I was just like, you're lying. And she's like, I'm serious. Like, just wait. You have to come back every day and, like, check on it. And then it's going to be a butterfly. And then one day I got there, I didn't even see the caterpillar. I didn't know what a cocoon was. So I was just like, Miss Sanchez, the caterpillar isn't even there anymore. And she's like, it's in the cocoon. I'm like, what's a cocoon? She's like, that's where it's becoming a butterfly. Like, they have to dissolve completely, and then they come back up again and like become a butterfly. I still didn't believe her. I was like so annoyed that it was taking so long. And then when the butterflies finally happened, we went outside and released them. And I just remember thinking, like, if that little ugly worm could become a butterfly, I can too. And I just remember I held on to that. And just like the power that we have to give ourselves wings, that we have the power to break through. We have the power to start and transform and become something beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, even when we don't feel, that's where we start.
Mm-hmm.
Y las flores somos semillas. Like, we are flowers that we need to take care of, that we need to, you know, I wrote something like, hold yourself as if you would hold your favorite flower. Con cariño, con amor, enjoy, see the beauty that you add to this world. And, you know, we all start off as seeds.
Yeah. It's all so, like, intertwined. Like, everything just is all, you know, because your purpose on this earth, I think, is to, like, guide others. You know, and I feel similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
The ways we do it is could never be the same, but, you know, I understand that position.
Mm-hmm.
And I just commend you for how dedicated you are to your role as, you know, a divine teacher, of, you know, a creator, a author, in all of the ways that you do that. And you really embody this revolutionary self-love that you talk about. And that's what's real refreshing about it, is that there are many people that speak about it, but you, I don't know if we always see them living, living that way. And it's very, inspiring to watch you. We didn't even get to talk about it, but we'll talk a little bit about before we go. And tomorrow's a very special day. And so tomorrow is your book launch.
Yes, we have the Mariposa Guerrera book launch, and I want, like, I committed to this because I'm like, this is a rebirth moment, and I felt that word so strongly for myself this year, que es un año de renacer. And a reminder that we get to, that we're constantly in a state of metamorphosis, that we get to give ourselves wings over and over again for the different seasons of our life. And we get to, you know, break out of, like, the different cocoons that the world, that the life universe is giving us. Yeah. Because each new set of wings is preparing you, you know, for this next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how is the, you said this book is different than Mija, right?
Yes.
Well, so, like, in obviously two different books, but how was it different? Because I think you said you expanded.
See, so this is a revised version of Mariposa, and we added about 100 new poems, and I also just changed some words, a little, just like revision. But it feels like I completed that chapter, or like that book, this time around.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to read it. I'm excited for the event tomorrow. Yes. I'm excited to see your outfit, because before we go too, I also need to talk to you about your fashion, because you don't just express yourself with all of those things we talked about. Like, your outfits be really, like, on point. Gracias. So talk to me about that and how fashion helps you express yourself.
Desde chiquita, I was big into fashion. Like, thrifting, that's my shit. And being creative with it. Like, a mí no me importan las marcas, no me importa. I gravitate towards pieces that make me feel like this is an iconic piece.
Yes.
And whether
for
it's
an,
like,
iconic bitch.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, I'm going to wear this, and I'm going to wear the shit out of it. And that's, like, a huge part of, like, me stepping into my power, mm-hmm. and, like, wearing what I want. You know, at school, they try to put me in uniforms. That never worked. I was always adding stuff, cutting stuff. I was, like, getting in trouble for showing too much or pushing the limits on, like, what the uniform was. I'm like, listen, it has a little blue here. Like, yeah. Let me be.
I was always getting dress coded, but I didn't have a uniform. I was just always a little bit too, showing a little bit too much.
You're like too good,
girl. The dress code situation just drives me nuts, because there's no dress code for men, so mm-hmm. it's like, and then the whole basis of it is that we don't want to distract the men, and that I have a huge problem
exactly
with.
It's like, don't tell me what to do, don't tell me what to wear, let me be. And
like Nicki Minaj, please, you're wearing a jean vest.
Yeah.
She said, I know you're not talking about what I'm wearing, because you came here in a jean vest. So we're gonna, like, start heading out, but this has been the Millennial Mija podcast, and it has been a treat to have you here. Yes. An honor to be able to interview you, and just to, because I know that this, the trajectory is just only up, so it's gonna be beautiful to, like, kind of be with you on this journey as a friend. Yes. And a homegirl. Yes. And, like, you know, a co-creator of
That's
things
right.
And like a fellow magician, witch, right. whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
People that work with magic, exactly. You know, and people that create, and people that are teachers, and who are healing themselves, but are also trying to, you know, heal the world too. You know, when we heal ourselves, exactly. we heal the world, like Gloria Anzaldúa said, and you are a beautiful example of that. Tell everyone Thanks. Where they can find you and where they can buy your book and all of that.
You can catch me outside.
How about that?
Why do I say so? Anyway, you can find me on Instagram, BadassXBonita. I'm also on TikTok, same thing. My personal is KimXGuerra. My website is BadassXBonita.com. ¿Y qué más?
And email address, security number.
My social is.
This has been the Millennial Mija podcast. Thank you, everyone in the building. Irving,
yes,
Jen,
yes.
Ale, and especially you, Kim. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
Hicieron llorar, güey. Hello?
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.